Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio with a vengeance, let me tell you what. That's right, you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me tonight and chilling out with me tonight. I'm sorry I could not be with you last week. I had a really great time, had to go to bed early last Friday night because I was invited to participate in a tax day rally at the Capitol in Jefferson City here in Missouri, that was basically put on by the Fair Tax Missouri people, and it's a little something that they do every year, and it's a kind of a tax day rally, and there's plenty of speakers, there's some music, and you know, just a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of great people hanging around to meet, and so I was invited to speak last week at this rally, and everybody was great. The speakers were all great. Lots of great points being made about taxes in America and about you know, about our tax code. What's wrong with it? What's right with it? What's wrong with it? What needs to be changed? Because for people to have to hire someone to do their taxes and by doing so, well, you know, I guess you're creating jobs. You know, I mean, you got to start somewhere, right? But so I guess you're creating jobs when you hire someone to do your taxes, but should anything really be that difficult? Should it really be that hard? Taxes should not be rocket science. And so anyway, it was just a ton of fun all around, and it was a pretty good turnout. There's a lot of people there, and so that's where I was. But it's good to be back. Good to be back in the chair here. And, man, we are loaded for bear tonight. We got a lot of stuff to get into. But I just want to, first of all, I just want to tell all of my Christian friends and family and neighbors and listeners and just all of my Christian acquaintances, I would like to shout out a very happy Good Friday to all of you and have a very happy and blessed Easter. And, you know, there is a, well, I like to call it the Wiccan Golden Rule. And that's basically what it is in a nutshell. And what it says is that the energy that you put out into the world, if you put out a lot of good energy, a lot of positive energy, you put that out into the world, you're going to get that back to you. But if you put out a lot of negative energy, if you're kind of a, you know, if you go around being a jerk to people all the time and you don't really care about people and you don't want to help them, and you just don't care. You're just all about yourself, and you're just basically sending out a lot of bad vibes, a lot of bad negative energy. That's also going to come back to revisit you. And I really do like to equate that with treat others the way that you would like to be treated. And So by saying that, I would like for people when Halloween rolls around or any other Wiccan holiday, and as I go along, I do like to talk about them and I do like to tell people about them so that you can relate to them because I believe they really are relatable, that you don't have to just be pagan to understand them. So I'd like to put that out there, and I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Good Friday today and a very happy Easter, and because that's how I would like to be treated. So happy Easter, happy Good Friday, happy Easter to all of my Christian brethren out there. May your holidays be blessed. May you be able to spend time with friends and family, and remember the meaning of the day. So with that, oh, my gosh, I guess the one thing that, who hasn't been talking about this? I don't think it's something new, and I don't know that it's, if any one of us, especially, conservatives, I don't know if we were confronted with this type of situation, if you had, let's say, maybe I'm pairing up apples and oranges here, but if you had the federal government standing on your front lawn, and so, maybe it's not the best of equivalents, but I don't think that it's kind of one of those things where maybe that you might say, hey, what would I do in this situation? How would I act, and how would I deal with it? And of course, I'm talking about the ranch in Nevada, rancher Cliven Bundy, and his tons of fun with the Bureau of Land Management this week. And it's been kind of a, I don't want to use divisive, maybe divisive is kind of a strong word, but there's really strong opinions on both sides about this. And basically here, what has gone on here, and this is from, This is from Reuters. There is kind of a little background here in case you've been living on the moon the past week and you haven't heard this story. Cliven Bundy, who has a ranch out in Nevada, he has, I believe, about 900 head of cattle. And for a city girl like me, that sounds like a lot of cows. But this apparently has been going on since 1993. And in 1993, by the way, the first part of the story maybe is that the Bundy family has been on this plot of land since the 1870s, right after the Civil War, that they have been raising cattle on this plot of land in Nevada. But fast forward to 1993, and the Bureau of Land Management took over this piece of land that has been in the Bundy family for over 100 years. And the Bureau of Land Management ordered Mr. Bundy to reduce his number of grazing cattle. I believe they put right now today I think he has about 900, and I could be wrong if I'm getting my facts wrong. I'm getting them from various sources here in various different places, but that they really wanted him to drastically cut his number of cattle. I thought that I heard down to 150, and that would be a serious cut in the number of cattle that he has. But so in 1993, the Bureau of Land Management took over this piece of land, and they wanted Cliven Bundy to reduce his number of grazing cattle. And the reason that they wanted him to do this, well, because they wanted to protect the desert tortoise. Okay, now, when people hear the word, think of these two words. You hear the word turtle, and then you hear the word tortoise. Okay, well, maybe it's just me. I don't know. But when I hear the word turtle, you think of a little cute, cuddly turtle that little kids bring home in the palms of their hands, and they want to keep it as a pet, and then it's probably dead in a week. But you know what I'm saying? It's you're thinking of a little bitty, tiny turtle that you can hold in the palm of your hand. And then when you hear tortoise, you think of those big, honking Asian turtles, people that, the ones that little kids can ride on, that they're so big. Well, this is not a very big turtle at all. But, it's big apparently to the Bureau of Land Management because they wanted the Bundys to drastically reduce their number, their herd of cattle. And when this happened, Mr. Bundy refused to pay his grazing fees. At the time, in 1993, said he would not, because of this, he would not pay his grazing fees or his cattle, and has not paid them since. And so now the Bureau of Land Management claims that Mr. Bundy owes them more than $1 million. But what happened here last weekend on Mr. Bundy's ranch in Nevada was that the Bureau of Land Management showed up and started to seize his cattle. And it's when you see the federal government come along like that and just decide that they are going to seize someone's assets, just, you know, maybe this case has been dragging on and maybe it's not quite so willy-nilly, but it's a disturbing sight. And so anyway, Mr. Bundy has a lot of supporters, people who don't believe that the federal government, and first of all, they do believe that this is a big, huge land grab by the federal government. And what they don't believe is that the federal government can just come in and just trample onto your property, onto your land. And there is a dispute over this land that it's federal land versus land that the Bundys have been grazing cattle on for over 100 years. So there's that part of it too. I think that this is more, and it's a lot of people showed up. There was a couple hundred people that showed up here last weekend in support of the Bundys and in support of getting rid of, but not having an overarching, overreaching government standing at your front door, standing on your front yard, in a sense, which is basically what this was. And, you know, it looked as though that maybe things were going to start to get a little heated for a while. There was a lot of people with firearms, which, hey, you know, God bless America, exercise your Second Amendment rights. And long story short, the Bureau of Land Management, the federal government kind of backed down, and their reasoning behind this is that, of course, they didn't want anyone to get hurt. They didn't want any bloodshed. And you have some pretty angry people here on the Bundy's Ranch. And, you know, I think that when this happened and we were watching all of this play out, that this is one little plot of land in America. This is one little piece of America. And, but the thing of it is that I think that this few hundred group of supporters of Clive and Bundy, they're not the only ones. I think that there are probably smaller instances of overreaching, overarching federal government into someone's life all over the nation like this. Maybe it's not broadcast all over the way that this was last weekend. And it continues to go on. The BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, is now saying that instead of just trying to come in and take the Bundy's cattle, that they are going to try to pursue this and get the money that they believe that Mr. Bundy owes them. They're going to do this through the court system. And so, you know, we'll see whether they do that or not. But the thing here, it's not so much, I think, maybe last weekend and the days leading up to last weekend, that this maybe started out as about cattle and about grazing rights and about paying fees and things like that. But I think it's morphed into more of that. And this story appeared on the 17th, which is yesterday, which is Thursday. But I think I had been saying this probably right after this happened, that, okay, that all of these supporters of the Bundys came in and basically pushed back the federal government off of the Bundys' land, and they viewed that, they looked at it as a victory. And in a sense, I think it was, because there was people who had the chutzpah and people who had the cojones to stand in front of Bureau of Land Management agents and say, no, this is not going to happen, you're not going to do this. And when they backed down, whether it was because they feared bloodshed or whatever the reason, and the Bundy supporters viewed this as a victory, my first thought was, you know what, this is going to embolden people. It's going to embolden them, and it's going to empower them because they feel like they've got a victory under their belt now. And the feeling about it is very similar to, I think, to the Tea Party surge back in 2010 with the advent of Obamacare. And that people stood up and said, no, we don't want this. Well, you know, we got it anyway. Here we are. But they realized that they did have some voice, that they did have a right to stand up and say, no, we don't want this. And so I don't think that this is so much an ending. Well, it's not an ending to this particular case, but it's a beginning. It's a beginning. And here's another parallel to 2010. 2014 is also an election year. And if normal, everyday, average American citizens can push back the federal government, be it in a case like this or in any other kind of case, and they can do it in an election year, it makes them that much more powerful. But, you know, interestingly enough, this took place in Nevada, and, you know, everybody's favorite senator, Dirty Harry, you know, who is from Nevada, who hails from Searchlight, Nevada. Well, you know, he had a few thoughts on the whole thing.
We begin today with a truce, at least for now, in the so-called cattle battle going on in southern Nevada. This weekend, the Bureau of Land Management halted the roundup of rancher Clive and Bundy's cattle because of, quote, escalating tensions between protesters and federal authorities. Still, many of the rancher's supporters expect agents to be back in greater numbers this week. Hundreds of protesters carrying signs or sidearms remained at the standoff site yesterday. Nevada officials and law enforcement officers are urging people to stay calm and leave the area. A federal land manager's pledge to pursue efforts to resolve the more than two-decade-long conflict with Bundy and collect an estimated $1 million in back grazing fees. Bureau of Land Management spokesperson Craig Leff said that the door isn't closed to resolving the matter administratively and judiciously. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is in town today, and we wanted his take on the ordeal. He hasn't been very vocal about the showdown in recent days, and today he wasn't either. Here's what he did have to say.
Is there anything you would like to say about what's going on down south with Clive Bundy and the BLM?
Well, it's not over. You know, we can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
You know, you got to love Harry Reid talking about, well, we can't just have people going around breaking the law. Harry Reid supports a president who goes around breaking the law every day by taking away this part of Obamacare and that part of Obamacare and getting rid of mandates and changing this part of the law and changing this part of the law, all without any input from Congress. So, you know, and he practically openly, with the help of Eric Holder and the Department of Justice, on a daily basis, goes around picking and choosing the laws that he wants to enforce and does not want to enforce based upon the fact of whether or not he likes them. So when you got a guy like Harry Reid going around talking about how people just can't go around breaking the law, really? Really, Harry? It's just another one of those things that Democrats say, and they don't even knee-jerk reaction for them that they don't even think about it before. They don't even know the words are coming out of their mouth before it happens. But you know, the other thing with that clip too of Harry Reid is that I think that myself, I know definitely for myself and for a lot of other people, when they heard this, that it kind of sounded like a threat. You know, well, it's not over. Really, Harry? How do you know that? How do you know it's not over? What are you going to do to make sure that it's not over? Well, there might be plenty of things that Harry will do. Apparently, this piece of land is very interesting to developers, and a lot of these developers are big-time friends of Harry Reid and big-time donors to Harry Reid's campaign. And, you know, if enough people with enough money want this plot of land, Mr. Bundy could be fighting for this for a long time to come. And, you know, I think we know how Harry and his buddies on the left, I think we know how they feel about the Tea Party. Well, they also have a few thoughts on Clive and Bundy's friends and family and supporters as well.
Now, in Nevada, ranchers. They pay their taxes, they pay their fees, and they follow the law. That's the way it should be. Now, what about Clive and Bundy? Clive and Bundy does not recognize the United States. He says that the United States is a foreign government. He doesn't pay his taxes. He doesn't pay his fees, unlike the rest of Nevada ranchers. And he doesn't follow the law. There are two court orders that have directed him to get your cattle off the land. And one of them orders was written by Lloyd George, who is really one of the most thoughtful, considerate people in the country. He has exhausted his ability to go to court, but now he continues to thumb his nose at authority. I think that we have to put this in the proper perspective. I've spoken to Sheriff Gillespie in detail. I've spoken to the Attorney General, Eric Holder, in detail. I've spoken to James Comey, the head of the FBI, in detail. Talked to him yesterday. I've talked to the Secretary of Interior yesterday. And it's an issue that we cannot let go and just walk away from it. Keep in mind what happened up there. There were hundreds of people from around the country that came there. They had sniper rifles on the freeway. They had assault weapons. They had automatic weapons. And as one of the former sheriffs in Arizona said, and we had children and women lined up because if anybody got hurt, we wanted to make sure they got hurt first, because we wanted the federal government hurting women and children. This is the deal, and it's not a good one. So these people who hold themselves out to be patriots are not. They're nothing more than domestic terrorists. And I think that we are a country that people should follow the law. And what went up in Mesquite is not very good. I repeat, what went on up there is domestic tourism. Okay. Domestic terrorism, not tourism.
Okay. Everybody think about this for just a minute now. You have not only a sitting senator, a sitting United States senator, but that sitting United States senator is also the Senate Majority Leader for the United States, and he is calling fellow Americans domestic terrorists. And what are those fellow Americans doing? They're waving flags. They're protesting a government that they think is completely over the top on being intrusive and just doing things that they have no business doing, that they're trampling the Constitution. And that's domestic terrorism. You know, that's funny because I can remember that same term used way back after the Oklahoma City bombing, and that term was used on a guy named Timothy McVeigh. So my question to Harry Reid would be, so Harry, are you equating normal, everyday, freedom-loving Americans who all they're doing is exercising their right to protest the government that they believe is way too intrusive and way too overreaching in their lives? Are you equating those people who are doing nothing but exercising, they're exercising their First Amendment rights, they're exercising their Second Amendment rights, they're waving flags, they're being normal, average, everyday Americans? Are you equating those people with a guy like Timothy McVeigh? Because if that's the case, you know, this is what we're up against, people. This is what we're up against in November, and it's only April now. So it's only going to get worse. And, you know, I think we just have to ask ourselves, actually people in Nevada, I guess, have to ask ourselves the question, is this the guy that you want representing you? Does Harry Reid represent people in Nevada? Does Harry Reid represent what you think and what you feel and what you believe, those people who live in the state of Nevada? Does Harry Reid represent you? That's the question that I will leave the people of Nevada with tonight. Does Harry Reid represent you? Because if he does, man, oh, man, I'd be taking a good hard look at that if I were you. But so apparently, according to Dirty Harry, this is not over. I don't think it's over either by a long shot. I don't think that we have seen the last of this. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the coming days and weeks. And we'll see if the Bureau of Land Management shows back up on the Bundy's doorstep. you know, anything's possible at this point. But, you know, also this week, just a couple of days ago, this horrible story out of South Korea with the capsized ferry. And it's just a horrible story. This ferry was carrying 475 passengers. It sank on Wednesday. 28 people have been killed. 270 are still missing. The captain of this ferry has been arrested on suspicion of negligence and abandoning people in need. This is what the South Korean prosecutor says. The senior prosecutor, I know I'm going to butcher these names here, the senior prosecutor, Yang Jung-jin Yon-hap, said 68-year-old Lee Jun-suk and the crew members, Lee Jun-suk is the captain of the boat, and the crew members were detained early Saturday. This would have been last Saturday. Actually, probably tomorrow, since we're here and South Korea is there. So the captain was arrested amid reports that an inexperienced crew member may have been at the ship's control when it overturned, and survivors claimed that the crew did not act swiftly enough to evacuate its mostly high school student passengers. Lee faces five charges, including negligence of duty and violation of maritime law, I would hope so, according to the Yonhap News Agency. Again, this was a ferry carrying 475 people, and also in a related story that makes it even more chilling, this boat was filled with says for 323 high school students were on this ferry. They were on a school trip. They were going to an island, I think, near the Korean coast that is said to be kind of the Korean Hawaii. It's kind of a vacation area, vacation spot. And one of the high school vice principals who had been rescued from the ferry committed suicide. And he was found hanged from a tree on Jindo, an island near the wreckage where the rescued passengers have been housed. So that's some serious survivor's guilt right there. There's going to be a lot more come out about this story. Apparently this crew was extremely, extremely negligent in what took place just prior to the sinking of this ferry. But the captain and crew members have been arrested. Of the 29 crew members, 20, including the captain, survived. The Coast Guard officials, South Korean Coast Guard officials, are investigating whether or not Lee, who is captain, whether or not he got on one of the first rescue boats. So that's wow. So it could be, and we don't know yet because this is very early on in the investigation, but it could be that as soon as this ferry started to lift and started to sink, that the captain said, "Hey, you know what, everybody? You're on your own. I'm out," and got on one of the first rescue boats. And if that's the case, wow. So, but he made an appearance in court, apparently, and I guess it's time difference. He had kind of a Unabomber thing going on where he had a gray hoodie sweatshirt and, it was pulled over all over his face. And, I guess we would all be a little ashamed, too, if we had left, 475 people to fend for themselves. But he made a brief videotaped appearance, and he said, I am really sorry and deeply ashamed. I don't know what to say. Well, that's probably maybe about all you should say at this point, buddy. So rescuers are still struggling to find 270 people. The last report that I got on this was that they believe that maybe some of these people are still trapped on the ferry and that they're trapped in some sort of air pocket. How long that is going to hold out is anyone's guess. But they're having a lot of bad weather, some strong ocean currents and things like that have made searching for these people, pretty difficult. It says the divers have begun pumping air into the submerged ship. That began about 48 hours after it sank. but it's not clear if that is because they believe that there are some survivors on board or it would be strictly for salvage efforts. But we will also hear about that. Hopefully, let's all think some positive thoughts and say some prayers that hopefully that there are plenty of people who remain alive in this horrible nightmarish situation. And yeah, it is that, but let's hope that they are still alive and that rescuers can get to them and get them out of this boat before all hope is lost. But let's see, we've got a lot more here. We've got the latest on the U.S. and the Russian situation, which I'm thinking is probably a chuckle a minute for Vladimir Putin. I've got a thing here. I wrote about it over at News Ninja 2012 last week about how maybe the biggest new voting bloc in the upcoming elections, not just this year but in 2016, could be Muslims. And there's news here on everybody's favorite mayor, Rob Ford of Toronto, and I've got some things maybe that after everybody got their taxes filed this week, well, a few things that your money just might be going to. So hang around. I'm going to take a break, and we will be back in just a second. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Hang tight, people. It's Friday.
For adventure in whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of the guns to function. Explode into space. I like smoke and lightning. Heavy metal thunder. Racing with the wind. Feeling that I'm under. Yeah, gotta go make it happen. Set the world in a loving embrace. All of the guns and weapons explode into space. Like a true nature child, we were born to be wild. We can climb so high. I never wanna die.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. It is Friday, people. We have finally made it to the end of the week. And I know that it seems like it goes on and on and on. But here we are. We're at the end. It's the holiday weekend for most of you. Happy Good Friday and happy Easter to all of my Christian brethren. I hope that your days are very blessed and very you spend them the way that you want to spend them, with your family and friends, and remembering the meaning of the day, that it's not just about Easter bunnies and jelly beans for you. So I hope everyone has a blessed holiday weekend. But we are here hanging out. We've got all kinds of things to talk about. Of course, Cliven Bundy and his ranch and his unwanted guest, the Bureau of Land Management. We're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the days and weeks to come. This horrible ferry sinking off the coast of South Korea, it's just the captain has been arrested on charges of negligence. His crew along with him, there is an ongoing investigation, of course, it's very early into this, that it could be, and we don't know yet, but it could be that, well, the captain was one of the first on the rescue boats that he kind of said, hey, I'm out, you're on your own. Find out about that. But also this week, the ongoing conflict in Russia and Ukraine, in Geneva on Thursday, the United States, Russia, Ukraine, and the European Union reached an agreement here, an agreement that calls for armed pro-Russian bands to give up the government buildings that they have seized in eastern Ukraine. And there's other steps here that outline the agreement that has been made. There's a lot of things in this agreement that maybe are not primary concerns of the U.S. government. Does not specifically require Russia to remove the approximately 40,000 troops that it has on Ukraine's border, and that was one of President Obama's demands. It does not commit Russia to holding direct talks with the interim Ukrainian government, which was another American demand. The agreement also does not mention the Russian annexation of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. So, you know, there was a lot of things in this agreement that really did not address things that the United States, that were not U.S. interests in solving this crisis. It calls on all sides in Ukraine to refrain from violence or provocative behavior and reject all forms of intolerance, including anti-Semitism, which Secretary of State John Kerry said had emerged as a worry in eastern Ukraine. And that is one of the things that there was a report of that. It's really kind of a shady report. I don't know. I've heard yes, it's true. I've heard no, it's not. I've seen things, heard things. You know, hopefully that this will be verified one way or the other. Hopefully it will be verified to not be true. The rumor was that there were leaflets being passed around in eastern Ukraine that were asking Jews to register. You know, first of all, define register. Second of all, that sounds chillingly familiar, doesn't it? We won't go there. We'll let everyone use their imagination. But so there is that. In recent days, the United States and other Western nations have repeatedly charged that Russian agents had orchestrated the seizure of government buildings in eastern Ukraine. Of course, Russian President Vladimir Putin has denied all of this. He went on Russian television on Thursday and denied all of this. But he also said that Russia reserves the right to intervene militarily, and he used new language that asserted Russia's historical claims to parts of eastern Ukraine. So also here, part of this Geneva Agreement, the Ukrainian government would grant amnesty to protesters who leave the government buildings that they have occupied and agree to give up their arms unless they are suspected of murder or other capital crimes. So, you know, here's the thing, is that this agreement here in Geneva really does not, and it says here, this is an article from the New York Times, that it really does not address any of the major concerns, the basic concerns of the United States. And I think probably one of the biggest reasons for that is that, you know, I think we've all seen in the last few weeks that Vladimir Putin does not, I'm not going to say that he doesn't take the United States seriously, maybe he does somewhat, but he views us as a paper tiger, I think, because all one has to do is look at the track record of Barack Obama, and we see a red line in Syria, and we see consequences. There's going to be consequences in Iran, and there's going to be consequences here, and there's going to be consequences in Syria, and none of those consequences ever materialize. And so what of anything in that track record of Barack Obama would make Vladimir Putin think that, hey, this guy really means business, and maybe I had better listen to him, and maybe I had better be on my best behavior because he's really going to make life miserable for me if I'm not? No, there is nothing in that track record that would make him think anything like that. And if anything, Vladimir Putin has shown a lot more leadership than Barack Obama could ever in this crisis or any other. And, you know, because there's almost kind of a general feeling, at least among conservatives, I think, that you know what? Nobody's going to say that Vladimir Putin is an angel. Vladimir Putin's a bad guy. Vladimir Putin's a former KGB guy. And he is, you know, he's a hardline guy. But he does what he says he's going to do, and he at least, he's got a set. You know, let's call it what it is. To put it bluntly, he's got a set. And he's not afraid to do what he feels is in the best interest of his nation, whether we feel that that's good or bad. And so I think that ultimately, Geneva Agreement or no Geneva Agreement, that Vladimir Putin is pretty much going to get what he wants. I think that's – I heard Ralph Peters, I believe it was last night, with Megyn Kelly on Fox News, that kind of basically saying the same thing, that you know, I think if – and he is a Russian expert, and that if Vladimir Putin wants eastern Ukraine, he's probably going to get it, and because he knows that there's going to be no forceful intervention from the United States. So, you know, we will see what Secretary of State John Kerry and the rest of his buddies there in Geneva from Russia and Ukraine and the European Union and you know, all of his Euro friends, you know, how this plays out and what happens. Because, you know, all they can do at this point is talk about sanctions and, oh, there may be more sanctions if this happens and more sanctions if that happens. But the thing with that is that, you know, while maybe sanctions will send some sort of message, what the sanctions are really doing is they're hurting normal, everyday, average Russian citizens who really don't have any skin in this game. They, you know, they got an opinion one way or the other about the whole situation or about Vladimir Putin, but it's hurting them. The sanctions are not hurting Vladimir Putin himself. Well, maybe they're hurting a few of his buddies, a few of his political friends and supporters, but. But other than that, it's normal, everyday Russian citizens. And so, you know, I think we'll just have to see how far he is willing to go, how much he's willing to squeeze Russian citizens, you know, in the form of sanctions. So there is that. We also had, you know, this has been a really bad week for ferry sinkings and shootings and things like that, this awful shooting in Kansas City last week, and also last weekend at a Jewish community center in Kansas City. There was someone arrested for this. He has a history. I believe his name, he has two names, actually. He has some aliases. He goes by Frazier Glenn Cross. He's also known as Frazier Glenn Miller. And he was booked in Kansas City, arrested for this crime of how many people were shot here? There was three people who died in his shooting. He has a long history of belonging to white supremacist groups, of forming Ku Klux Klan groups. He was the head of a South Carolina, I believe, Klan group with about 5,000 members. Even ran for the Senate at one point. And, you know, it's just, As a citizen of Missouri, as a citizen of this state, it hurts me to see when people like this come in and do things like this, because I don't know that you can categorize it as anything but a hate crime. Why did this man target a Jewish community center? You know, it's unfortunately, I think that things and you know, I think that racism and hating groups of people like this, I think, unfortunately, are part of the human condition. I don't think that you're ever going to eradicate them entirely. I don't think that it is particular to any one group of people. I think it's human beings in general. We see it all over the world. And so I don't think you're going to completely eradicate it, but you would hope maybe that as time goes on that you know, maybe I'm going to sound a little, you know, can't we all just get along and sound like I have a code and a bumper sticker on my car? I do not. But, you know, I mean, it's a nice idea to think about, even though that you maybe know on a practical level that it's never going to happen. But let's hope that this does get prosecuted as a hate crime. And at least I do. I don't know that the punishment will be any far greater than if it's just prosecuted as murder, which is what it is. But, you know, the thing about this is that as awful as it is, and no matter who the victims are and no matter who the person doing the shooting is, I really hadn't heard anything about this, and it could have been that the media was too, well, they were preoccupied, but they weren't preoccupied with the Bundys. I think they were preoccupied with it. They were preoccupied about not talking about it is what they were. And so there wasn't a lot of reporting on this story, but as soon as it broke, I think a lot of people, at least a lot of people on the right, were probably thinking, you know what, how many minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, pick a number, how many minutes is it going to take for somebody in the mainstream media to start going through Tea Party membership lists in various states, be it Missouri or Kansas or any other surrounding state? How long is it going to take them to start going through Tea Party membership rolls to see if there's a guy with this name? Because we all know, I don't have to drag this out again. We don't have to go over it again. We know what the template of the mainstream media is regarding white supremacists and regarding hate crimes and regarding racism in general. It is all property of the right. The right wing are all the racists, and the right wing are all the white supremacists, which is funny because, you know, the Ku Klux Klan, wasn't the Ku Klux Klan founded by disgruntled Democrats after the Civil War? You know, history was a long time ago for me, so maybe I'm a little rusty. But and then also, wasn't there the thing where Democrats did not vote for one piece of civil rights legislation in the 1960s? Oh, yeah, there was that. You know, the list goes on and on. I don't have it in front of me, but I can put it in front of me, and we can talk about it at any other given time, because that's another thing, I think, where my fellow conservatives, where we have gone just a little bit wrong, and the fact that we've let civil rights history be rewritten, it's easy for me to say, to where that conservatives and Republicans are the bad guys, that we are, you know, we're the guys in the black hats, and that's not true. But so I think it's one of the things that we need to start correcting, and we need to start correcting it in a hurry, because it's something that's just not true. But while we're along the lines of diversity and inclusion, and can't we all just get along? Recently, I believe this was probably last week, there was a new group formed. This is the group is called the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations. And basically what the purpose of this group is, they would like to give Muslim Americans more of a voice and more of a say in the electoral process, in the political process. And on its face, on the surface, that's a great idea because, you know, let's not have less voices, let's have more voices. Everyone should have no fear to stand up and say what they think and say what they feel about any representative of theirs, any senator, the president, Congress, government in general. No one should A, everybody should is allowed an opinion, and B, everybody should stand up for that opinion. And so on the surface, that's a great idea. The problem is that some of the founding members of these groups, well, you know, I'm going to read a little bit about them here, and, you know, everybody can make up their own mind. We have everyone's favorite here. You know them, you love them. The Council on American-Islamic Relations. Of course, this group was formed in 1993. It is an outgrowth of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's an outgrowth of their Palestine Committee. And it says that group, like the United States Council on Muslim Organizations, was an umbrella organization for Islamist groups in America. And, you know, we may talk about this again in the coming weeks, but CARE, you know, anytime that you say anything negative about someone who's Muslim, you're an Islamophobe and you're trying to shut down their speech. When it's this group that is pretty good at trying to shut down the free speech of others. American Muslims for Palestine, a group which actively tries to delegitimize Israel and has defended Hamas and people convicted of providing material, supports terrorists. The Islamic Circle of North America, they have some conferences where they have some pretty radical speakers. Also, the Muslim American Society, which does also has gatherings where they have some radical Islamist speakers. People like Sheikh Ayed al-Karni, who has advocated jihad and is considered influential among al-Qaeda followers. People who advocate jihad, people who advocate for Sharia law, things like that. So that's a few of the founding members of this group. So while I think that the premise is good, that the idea is good, maybe the founding members of this group is maybe, you know, yeah, not so much. But maybe some more mainstream Muslims, some Muslims who are not afraid to stand up and say, hey, you know what, I don't support jihad and I don't support murdering innocent people if they do not convert to Islam. And those Muslims who there's got to be some out there, you know. It doesn't seem like that there are a lot of them, but I think there are. And maybe they'll find that there's strength in numbers and that they will start to speak out about these groups and say, hey, that these groups we do want to say in the political process, because we are Americans. We're Muslims, but we're also Americans living here. And we want to say in the process, but these people don't represent us. So maybe that will be those, that maybe the idea will stick around, but the groups will go. You know, we can put it that way. Let's see, some little tidbits here. I don't know if anyone's heard or not, but, well, Hillary Clinton is going to have a new job, and it's not what you think yet. It's not running for president. Hillary Clinton she's going to get a new title. Her new title is going to be grandma. That's right. Hillary Clinton is going to be a grandma. Daughter Chelsea announced earlier this week that she is pregnant. Her and her husband, Mark, are expecting their first child later this year. Congratulations to them. They're very excited. We hope that everything goes well and that Chelsea gives birth to a normal, healthy baby boy or girl. And here's the question. Would impending grandmotherhood be a reason that maybe Hillary would not run? Do you think she wants to... I don't know. Does anybody think that she wants to stay home and knit booties? I mean, who knows? Anything's possible. You know, I'm just saying. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But congratulations to Chelsea Clinton and her husband Mark on their impending new arrival to their family. Of course, then there'll be Grandpa Bill, and that's a whole other show. I don't have time to talk about Grandpa Bill, do I? The original members of the rock group Kiss, who did not like Kiss when they were in high school? Come on, it was the first concert I ever went to. It was awesome. But they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week. And it was not the happy occasion maybe that you would think for them, that maybe it would be. The original members are they're a little miffed. Because the Hall of Fame is inducting them, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Peter Criss, the original band members, but they are not inducting any members that came along later after Ace and Peter left, and so there's this big deal. And they announced the ceremony was last night. The ceremony was on Thursday, and that they not only were they not going to wear any makeup, but they weren't going to play either at the ceremony. So, you know what? That kind of sucks. But, you know, for those of us who were KISS fans growing up, you know, the other members were great, but I think we all, you know, I think we remember Peter, Paul, Ace, and Gene. You know, that was KISS for us. So, you know, that's unfortunate that they, I've seen a lot of musicians who have a lot of mixed feelings about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, you know, that is what it is. But, and then, let's see. Well, we have everyone's favorite mayor. No, not Rudy Giuliani. Everyone's favorite mayor north of the border, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Well, Mayor Ford has officially kicked off his mayoral re-election campaign. That's right. Let's see here. This is from Fox, I believe. No, NBC. He has kicked off his re-election campaign. That was also yesterday. He said, "I owe the people of Toronto a great, great deal of gratitude. You are the salt of the earth." And he announced his re-election bid at the same venue where he celebrated an election victory in 2010. He was surrounded by supporters who were wearing T-shirts that read, "Ford, 4 years," and "Ford for Mayor." You know, of course, Mayor Ford is, well, he's a little infamous, I guess, for his drinking and his crack smoking, and he's kind of like, "Yeah, I did it. What's it to you?" But he says, "I have a proven track record. I'm running on my ideas of further cutting the cost of government, keeping taxes low, and removing red tape. We need our tax dollars to unleash growth, not prevent it." And he got rounds of applause every time that he spoke. Every, you know, at the end of every sentence, practical there, and they were hooting and hollering, and so we will see what happens if Rob Ford is reelected to another term as mayor of Toronto. But you know, I did have a little thing here too. I don't think I have time for it. But just a couple of things that maybe this week that your tax dollars were spent on. Oh, let's see, Museum of Neon Signs in Las Vegas. I'm sure Harry Reid's been to that. Let's see, a pizzeria in Iowa that was given $1,000 to renovate the pizzeria's facade and give it a more, quote, inviting feel. Let's see, the problem is that when you Google stupid things that the government spends money on, there is not a shortage of pages that you can go to look it up. But anyway, real quickly before I go, a little bit of housekeeping. I want to promote News Ninja 2012. I have some great colleagues there with some great articles and great stuff. Please go there and check it out. And also, I am very pleased to announce that starting on April 30th, it's going to start on April 30th, but the official launch date is going to be May the 5th, News Ninja 2012 is going to begin radio. That's right. We are starting WAAR radio. We are American radio. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of my fellow News Ninja colleagues there. They are going to be having their own shows there. So I will definitely keep you posted on that. But that is WAR Radio, newsninja2012.com. It is time for me to get out of here. So I will say thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. Please go to conservativecauldron.blogspot.com, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, at Patriot Witch on Twitter, and, of course, newsninja2012.com. I will be talking a lot more about WAR Radio in the coming days and weeks here. Well, about 2 weeks to go here before we get everything launched. We're really busy, but we're really, really excited about the whole thing. Wayne Dupree is an awesome, awesome guy, and this is his baby, so we're really going to try to rock it for him. Anyway, that's it for me tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. I'll see you next time.
Believe in America.